I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. We visit again with an old friend of the program, John Twigg, a longtime observer of politics in this province and elsewhere. He was press secretary to former Premier Dave Barrett. He's been on the program numerous times in the past, but it's been nearly 4 years since he was last on. We will discuss the current provincial election and referendum campaign and more. His website is johntwigg.com in Campbell River this day. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, John Twigg. Good morning, Mr. Twigg.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for having me on again, and hello to all your listeners.
It's been a while, hasn't it? I never realized, you know, that
4 years flew by.
Yeah, and yeah. It's been really fun to catch up with people like you and Shrek and Bannerman, Jamie Lee Hamilton, who we used to have on all the time, and now, you know.
Yeah.
Have you, since the last campaign, you were the leader of a political party, right?
Yeah, for about 6 weeks I was the leader of the BC Refederation Party, but I realized once I got in there that I wasn't ready for it personally. I had some family issues and things, and then also I just wasn't sure if I wanted to go that route. And, so, I mean, I'm pleased to see that that party is doing quite well. They got 25 candidates running, and at least I think they do, and with the Conservative Party, I see in the polls today they're at 3%. There may be some room for some independent-minded parties in BC.
Did you see Greens getting elected this time around?
No. And they might have if it wasn't so polarized between the Liberals and the NDP, but no, their polls show them at 12% consistently, and that's just not enough anywhere.
Now, you still do local TV there in Campbell River?
I do, for what used to be CRTV and is now part of Shaw Cable Systems.
And you talk politics. Is it weekly?
Oh, yep. Well, I don't do 52 shows a year, but we do it. We've been moving the schedule a bit lately because of hockey and stuff like that, but Shaw is showing the WHL playoffs.
Right.
So we move around. But, yeah, I usually have a pretty regular time slot.
So how does this campaign look from your vantage point at this point?
Well, it's too close to call. And, like, that's for the first time in my memory. And I'm 60, and I've been covering politics since I was about 18. And I've been in tight elections. But this one, it might not still be decided. And I say that even though there's a Mostel poll out today, as we're taping, that is Liberal 47, NDP 38, and you know that's a pretty big lead, nine points. And the problem is that when you take a poll like that province-wide, you're missing the fact that it's 85 contests. And the NDP is really good, and I think the Liberals are too, about identifying their winnable ridings. So the NDP has done well in the past, and in fact in the previous election, by focusing their effort in their best chances, and I think that's happening again.
Now, you mentioned earlier that we might see independent-minded candidates get elected. You mentioned the BC Refederation Party.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Conservatives at 3% in that latest poll. Where are these seats?
Well, one of them would be Vicky Huntington in Delta.
She's an independent, right?
Yes, she is. And I think her prospects are probably better than any of the others. I don't see any of the small parties picking up any seats in this election, except perhaps her. And if there any do, it's a real shock.
Now, with all the pundits that we've had on the program in the last couple of weeks in the course of this election, a lot of them have been talking about the sense of disengagement that people have had through the campaign, that voters aren't really paying attention. Do you see that as well?
Well, yes, and worse is that it was engineered by the Campbell crowd. You know, like, this election is not very important. It was only one issue, the economy. That was their line at the outset. And even though they said it was highly important, really what they're worried about is their own turnout. And other things conspired as well. Of course, the hockey is a distraction, and, you know, I'm a Canucks fan. I'll be watching. Go Canucks, go. But, the Campbell Liberals would like everybody to believe that everything's fine, they're the only natural choice, and the only one issue, and so, you know, hey, no big deal here. And fortunately, it's turned out otherwise. There are a good range of issues. And the economy, interestingly, we've had statistics come out which show that BC had its first decline in GDP since 1982. And that suggests that the Campbell Liberals as economic managers are not very good. Furthermore, we've had some earnings reports where BC's earnings, average worker wages and things like that have tanked under the last few months. Now, you blame that on, some people would like to blame that on the financial setback, but other provinces, Saskatchewan is up 4% in GDP. So, Campbell's got to wear some of this. And their economic mismanagement is coming home to roost.
You know, do you think the NDP would handle the economy better?
You've hit it on the gist of a column I wrote for a magazine in Vancouver Island. It's a very difficult choice for voters because even though the Campbell crowd is corrupt and perhaps worn out, the alternative, the NDP, is not a perfect choice. And for some people, they've got problems with the union influence, the dominating policy. Other people have problems with the quotas for women candidates and stuff like that. And the NDP social engineering in general, apart from whether or not, you know, they have enough people with business experience, that kind of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of questions about the NDP. To answer your question, though, BC's economy has so many natural strengths going for it that even a weak government can skate through. And in a way, I'd argue Campbell's been doing that.
Now, there was a leaders' debate on television last week. Is it your experience that they matter to the public?
Not always, but quite often. And sometimes what matters is that, the status quo prevails. And, you know, the debate reinforces that, well, I guess we don't need a change in government right now. And, you know, so ho-hum, no news. But then again, there's the famous Gordon Wilson line, which many people have tried to repeat and still do in even this last debate. Jane Stirk tried to do it, the Green leader. The debates still matter. Everybody says Carol James won, and I think she did, but I would have liked to have seen her be stronger than she did come across.
Now, if she loses seats, which is a possibility on Tuesday, her leadership's up in the air, isn't it?
Oh yes, but I'll be shocked if the NDP loses seats. They might lose one or two or three or four at the most. But I mean, if they lost, say, 12 seats, yeah, she's gone. But I don't think that's going to happen.
And if the same thing happens on the other side, if Campbell loses seats, is he safe?
Well, if he squeaked through with a majority, yeah, he could probably stay. You got to look at his own seat, though. Point Grey was very close last time, and it's going to be closer this time.
It's Mel Lehan running against him.
Yeah, and I was in that riding recently. Actually, I went to see DeBarrett speak, and he's 79 now, and he's still out there pumping. But, no, it's going to be close. In a way, maybe the dream outcome would be a very narrow Liberal win with an independent Delta and Campbell losing a seat. That would be, I think, the best we could hope for.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that the Greens won't win a seat. What's their problem, do you think, in not resonating with the public? I sort of think about this, and about the issue of the environment, which was talked about a lot at the beginning of the campaign, that ran away from the NDP. The Liberals seem to have taken it on. But the Greens haven't seemed to resonate at all.
If I lose train of thought, you bring me back to the Greens, but I want to talk about the environment, and it's a red herring. No matter what BC does, we're not going to change the global trend in global warming. Now, it's obligatory for us to try and take a leadership role, such as in developing new green technologies, and yeah, I'm all for it. But the Liberals taking on the environment as a cause celeb is really, it's a vote-splitting technique by the Liberals. You know, they would love to get the Greens and the NDP fighting against each other. They'd like to prop up the Green vote to split off the NDP. So, Campbell's about as green as an oil slick, as they say. He's done nothing on fish farms. He's done cutbacks in the Ministry of Environment. His environmental record, frankly, is terrible. And so for him to latch onto a back of a napkin atmospheric plan is just ludicrous. One of the most offensive things I've heard is these ads they keep running about BC's dependence on dirty power from Alberta. And it's flawed on so many levels. First of all, we're not dependent on it. We choose to buy their surplus super cheap because the Alberta power system is built on these coal-fired plants that for efficiency have to keep running to keep the heat up. And then they produce at night surplus power. Well, lucky BC, we buy it. We have the unique ability in North America to store power because of our hydro system. So we buy it cheap and sell it rich when we export it, or we use it ourselves depending on what we choose to. We are not dependent on Alberta power. Now, is Alberta coal a dirty power source? Relative to natural gas, yes. Relative to Chinese power, I mean, the power plants in China and India and elsewhere around the world, no. We use clean coal technology in North America, and it's getting better. It's not ideal, but it has a lot of merits in terms of being low-priced. So the environment issue is the people are using it for more than it's worth, I think, and it's a bit disappointing. Now, why the Greens aren't getting traction, I think that's partly it. There's a lot of people that believe that the environment issue is overblown as a critical factor in our life these days. Personally, I'm into the 100-mile diet and food self-sufficiency and other green things like that, and I think everybody should be. But, you know, it's not going to change the world if you take a reusable bag to the grocery store or if you get a plastic bag. And if we do it en masse, yeah, it's a progressive thing. But, you know, in terms of what do we need to fix on in the world, and in British Columbia in particular, I'd say health care. I'd say structural underfunding of education. I'd say the minimum wage. There's all sorts of issues that really, the failure to address the street problems, are driving up the police and the emergency room costs. So, yeah, there's so many things that we need to focus our attention on, and the stuff the Green Party has been trying to get people to focus on is not really the highest priority.
Yeah,
answer, I'm sorry.
No, you've covered a lot of ground there. I was thinking of STV. How did you vote the last time around?
Well, good for you for asking, and that's a good way to ask, because I was in favor of it last time, and this time I've come around and I'm actually strongly opposed, and I'm firing off emails, and one of the reasons I'm pleased to do this show is I'll probably get another kick at the can here on STV.
Well, what changed in 4 years?
Well, I figured out the riding thing. Like I thought last time that North Vancouver Island would be a two-member riding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it was going to be a two or more, but what it is now, it's going to be a four-member riding stretching from Long Beach and Tofino and Port Alberni through Parksville to Powell River and all the way north to Port Hardy and I think to Bella Coola. And we're going to have four MLAs out of that for about 250,000 people. Maybe 200,000, I'm not sure. I think they're trying for average of 50,000 per MLA. But in any case, the ridings are so big that they would be unrepresentable. And the chances of a small party getting somebody elected where they have to, you know, to send a householder out, everybody gets a letter in the mailbox saying, hi, I'm running, that costs about $1 a piece. And to hit everybody, well, you don't have 300,000 households, but, you know, let's say you've got 150 households. That's still a heck of a lot of money just to send householder out. Now, how are they going to do all candidates' meetings when they've got 16 or 17 people in 4 weeks to have meetings in 10 towns? I mean, it's just nuts. It's well-intentioned. The idea of a preferential ballot, I think, deserves more debate. But the transferable aspect of this is truly insidious. It could give us Gordon Campbell for 16 more years, and here's how. Right now, in Point Grey, his margin is 2,000 votes. But in the next election, and we're required to have, if it passes, STV for three more elections, he'd be in a region, Westside Vancouver, where I think there will be five or six MLAs. And the surplus of support for him in Shaughnessy would spill over, if we still had the ridings, into his Point Grey riding. And likewise in North Shore, the huge surplus of Liberal support in West Vancouver would transfer over to North Van to elect Liberals there too, whereas the community in North Van might prefer somebody of a different stripe. So STV locked in for three more elections with all these flaws? No, it's just, I'm sorry, folks. I support the ideals that it was sold on, but the mechanics don't support them.
Do you think people are paying attention to this?
More and more, yeah. I mean, like Bill Good's pounding away on it. Christy Clark is pounding away on it. And this is also a Liberal distraction, by the way. It was Campbell's idea to go again, even though it failed last time. 57% it got, and it needed 60. But it was Campbell who said, you know, that's close, we're going to do it again. Well, it's a distraction from his record. You know, we should be looking at his sellout of BC Rail and his screw-ups in the justice system and so many other flaws. But no, we're not focused on Campbell's record here. We're focused on this silly vote proposal.
And you think it will fail on Tuesday?
The latest backroom source I have is that, yes, it will. But again, this is a difficult election to predict.
But doesn't this kill electoral reform?
No. As a matter of fact, Carol James in her platform says that if it's passed, they'll implement it. And if it fails, they'll try some other form of electoral reform. And to me, that's good news. I think with a bit more work, the Citizens Assembly was flawed in its structure in that the people who participated were well-meaning but tended to have time on their hands. They didn't reflect worker interests. They didn't reflect perhaps business interests or such like that. But some mixed member proportional, preferential ballot, some riding restructuring. You know, we used to have two-member ridings, North Peace and Vancouver East and stuff like that. They can work. And so you can get some, our second choice is of a different party, third choice, and that matters too. Fragment of your vote that gets transferred if it wasn't used. That's a concept I have trouble with, but, I think if some people with brains and goodwill looked at it, we could come up with a better system.
And johntwig.com, people can read your writing there?
Alas, it's not much of a website right now.
You've got a piece on there, though, right?
I do have that column that I referred to. I was running in the Vancouver Island magazine. But, perhaps we'll be posting some more stuff there. But, if somebody wants to reach me, John, at johntwig.com, that's easy to remember.
And we'll all be watching the election on Tuesday, won't we?
We, yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
It's been good talking to you again, John, and let's not make it another 4 years.
Well, you can call me anytime, Joseph.
Will do, yeah.
Good.
johntwig.com is his website, John Twig on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.